Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And Warn Radio is now on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music in podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. Be sure not to miss the following posts from our Warn Radio episodes on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. The Lucifer Project Group, America Held in Contempt, Finding Grace in Time of Need, Faith, Words, Spring of Life. And you don't want to miss the latest WIBR Warn Radio shows on warn-usa.com, China, Rise of the Dragon, Iran, North Korea, Christian Persecution, Persecuted Gospel and Christian Leadership, Gospel Advocacy, Persecuted Church, Prophecy, Christian World News. And don't miss our latest Warn Radio episodes from the week of May 10th through May 12th. Wednesday's show on the 10th, Watch and Pray Always, God's American Agenda, Real Revival, Conversion to Faith, Resurrected. Thursday show on May 11th, Davidic Mercies, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 173 on Battle Lines. And Friday, May 12th, Found in Christ, Revelation, Throne of Iniquity, Part 13 on Sound the Shofar. And be sure to get your copy of The Rising. The Rising is a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith. The Rising continues the story of Mac, a former Black Ops sniper, and details the takeover of America. Hidden within the storyline of The Rising is the truth of what's happening in America now. You can get your book by going to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram. The Rising ebook can be found on Google Playbook. And you can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. And while on the site, be sure to sign up for the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter and visit our Christian books and resource shop. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, you know, in spite of the election, I'm doing good.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's wonderful to be here again. I always enjoy this.
Yeah, we are here another Wednesday. Our gospel news.
Advocacy for the persecuted church.
Yep. And tell you about articles and things we're doing. We cover a lot of different things here related to the persecuted church. And also stories of interest from America and other areas. But we are not, this is not a basic news program. This is an advocacy program for the persecuted church. And we do add some other stuff to it. But that's our target. That's what we do. And so up front, we are in America. This is a beautiful graphic, by the way.
It is.
America held in contempt. You can see this graphic over on danaglennsmith.com or warren-usa.com. This is one of our featured articles, and it's a beautiful. You can see this over on our warren-usa.com or Dana Glenn Smith site. This is about America being held in contempt. And, you know, I think there's a lot of contemptible people. And I think there's a lot of contempt and a lot of pride. I've never seen a nation that is so divided, so screwed up in my life as I've seen America. I don't think there's one. And so as I look at America being held in contempt, it reminds me of being held in contempt of court. But, you know, I look around and I behold the many aspects of this great land. We've been doing our shows we're in our 25th year. And there is no doubt, there may be contempt in America, but I got news for you. I am filled with the wonder of beauty and majesty of America. I'm not talking about your, you know, California and the attempt to become a Venezuelan. You've screwed up the whole thing over there. And, you know, they think it's cool. And it's disgusting. California has the redwoods and so many things, and your government in California is screwing it up. The same thing we find with New York. It's disgusting. But when I look around where we're at, you haven't seen anything till you've seen the wonders and the beauties. And there are other beauty and wonders in this country besides where we live. But I think it's about time that somebody looked around and exclaimed how beautiful it is and stopped putting politics in it. From Monument Valley to Utah's many wonders and on to Yellowstone, the Tetons, and so much more. Some of the most beautiful places on the planet are found here in my home state and in my neck of the woods. Yet, in spite of all this beauty, I wrote the article America Held in Contempt. Because although it's beautiful and gorgeous, it is part of a nation that's in rebellion against God. And matter of fact, they're even in rebellion against themselves. You know, and they're doing things that are just absolutely corrupt. They're full of pride. And there's a whole bunch of kids that are misled. And there's people that have led them astray. And the kids are confused. And so now we got a whole society that's politically divided. And including the gender and all the other wokeness that goes with this ridiculous atmosphere we have in America. But see, the point here is no matter whether you're woke or unwoke, America's divided, and it's not going to stand. And its sins simply are very, very many and very, very great in this place called America. You can see clearly that this is a nation in rebellion against God, and it's even in rebellion against its own history. And, you know, I'm talking about being held in contempt because of the sins, and all you have to do is repent and come to the Lord, put away your pride, admit you're a sinner, and admit what you're doing in this country is against God. But you won't do it. You're too full of pride. And that's why America is being held in contempt. Now, I put in here God's rules, one of the rules we find concerning a nation. You can find that in Jeremiah 18:7-10. Now, I'm not going to read this to you. If you want to know, then you go on over and you read this article. And if you got comments, you get on our websites and send me a note from our contact page. If you can't get out of your lazy portion of your day to read this, and then let us know what you think, then I've just wasted my time. There's a lot of people that want to hear other things. There's a lot of kids that are so confused and so dazed. Their little world centers around their wokeness. Well, your little world is about to come crashing down. And I'm speaking to every child, every young person, every college age. I'm speaking to pastors and churches, congregations, every politician. Every one of you have screwed America up. Every one of you fail to see what the problem is. And we have plenty of people with talk shows. Plenty of people trying to tell you what to do. What this nation needs is a total revival of heart, mind, soul, and spirit through the sweeping power of the Holy Ghost. No matter the issues that you may have, you need the saving power and loving grace of our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I might add that the nations of men on this planet are also so rich in sin and debauchery along with blood guilt. But you know, there's some good news here. God's love and his redemptive spirit gives man more grace and the ability to find freedom and faith. God can free anyone.
Amen.
So, I gave you a little overview of this article. Don't be prideful. Head on over to warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Read this article. Think about it sincerely. I'm not condemning you. I'm telling you what you need to do. I'm giving you a solution. Because you haven't even begun to know the depths of our great God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you will shoot off your fool mouth and you won't even understand what you're saying. You have no clue. You don't even know who you're talking about because you do not know the Father and the Son. You judge everything. And yet God will stand in judgment of nobody. But he will bring judgment at the end of days. You're free to come now. No matter how much of a sinner or screwed up you think you are. I got news for you. Every Christian that's come to the Lord, there was something they needed to repent of. So check out America Held in Contempt. Because this is a big country. We got huge problems, and our children are confused, and many are full of pride and rebellion to the point they'll be found wanting when the judgment comes to this country. So, America Held in Contempt. Check it out. Warren-USA.com, DanaGlennSmith.com. Well, you know, this next one is working for Christ, faith in the field for Christ. And I wanted to do this one because we haven't done something on Franklin Graham for a while, you know, Tower?
Right.
And this is something that people need to know.
This is amazing, this, what he's doing.
And this is amid the storms. Now, this is in Mississippi. And feel free to pick out any section you want to read or something. Let me know.
Okay. I'll start here.
Okay.
So it's helping amid the storms. Entire towns disappeared and dozens of lives were lost when ferocious tornadoes tore across the southeast and midwest in the first 2 weeks of spring. My wife, Jane Austin, and I went to Mississippi to pray with survivors, to meet with local leaders, and to see how Samaritan's Purse can help. Meanwhile, we deployed five of our disaster relief units to storm-stricken towns from Arkansas to Indiana. It seemed like Tornado Alley has become an expressway, with more than 300 twisters reported this year. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to believe.
Yeah. Our teams have helped in three locations in Mississippi, in Rolling Fork, Silver City, and Armory, and two in Arkansas, Little Rock and Wynn, two in Tennessee, Covington and Savannah, as well as Sullivan, Indiana, and Shawnee, Oklahoma. At the same time, we also deployed teams to help flood victims in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, earlier this year. We responded to tornadoes in Alabama and Georgia.
You know, that's a lot of deploying.
Oh, my goodness. It is.
And when you think about it, you know, they can only do that as support rolls in. So here, you know, check out Samaritan's Purse. And we'll repeat the address where you can get them at online.
You know, what's amazing they've been able to do is, like one thing Franklin Graham said, he was struck by not only by the awful devastation, but also by the resolute spirit of the survivors. They're stout-hearted, hard-working folks and care about their neighbors and live out the values Jesus taught in the parable of the Good Samaritan. That was when he was visiting Rolling Fork and Silver City. And what Samaritan's Purse is doing, they have been going in and making repairs to homes that are repairable and helping them to rebuild. They're also bringing in mobile homes, the well-anchored mobile homes for homeowners who were uninsured. So this is amazing what they're able to do to help these people.
Well, you know, and they literally do get into the midst of it, and it's not easy work. When they go in there, they're dealing in a disaster situation, and it's hard, hard work. And they will pray with people, you know. I mean, it's just, where else on earth are you going to find people that, you know, America regularly does that. Now, that's good.
Yeah, and the tornado that devastated Rolling Fork and Silver City was rated an EF4, which is 170-mile-an-hour winds that left a 60-mile scar across the Mississippi Delta. That is just crazy.
And that they said that before Christmas in 2021... a twister hit in Mayfield, Kentucky with the same kind of ferocity as the previous one she was talking about. And Samaritan's Purse is still working to rebuild houses there. Yeah, that, you know, you think about it. That is a lot of money. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of manpower.
Oh, it is. That is terrible.
And I was glad to see Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her mother, Jeanette Huckabee, and members of the governor's staff who volunteered.
Yeah. I thought when I seen that picture, I thought that woman looks familiar. Then I realized it was Arkansas's governor. Yeah, I'm glad to see that. Well, she's not afraid to get out there and help the people of her state.
So along with all of those, there was Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Edward Graham were visiting relief projects as well. You know, it always helps to have that many people.
Yes, it sure does.
And, of course, remember that they were also over in Ukraine.
And they're in Turkey and Syria as well.
You know, you think about it. This is really, you know, something we need to remember.
It's amazing what Samaritan's Purse is doing to help people all around the world.
So you can send your donation to Samaritan's Purse, P.O. Box 3000, Boone, North Carolina, 28607. That's Samaritan's Purse, P.O. Box 3000, Boone, North Carolina, NC, 28607. You can also find them at samaritanspurse.org online, and you can give a gift there. And so while there's a lot of things going along, you know, I personally think if we would focus more on others, more on helping like Samaritan's Purse is doing, and then stop focusing on all your woke things that you're doing and other stuff, and the Democrats stop focusing on everybody and hating everybody who disagrees with you.
Boy,
and stop plotting.
Sure.
You know, I condemn this political situation in America. I condemn, you know, rebuke this stuff, and I rebuke this division. And I rebuke the pride that's causing a lot of this and the wokeness and the nonsense that's going on. I rebuke it. And you may not like it, but you need to wake up. Because we've done some stories already that should prompt you to want to save this country. But see, we have those who are socialists to the core. And they're wet behind the ears, snot-nosed people, just like a little kid on the farm with his nose running. You know, you may enjoy running around, but the bottom line, there comes time, you know, to change your diapers and wipe your snotty nose, because you're still acting, you're still a little kid. And many of you are not grown up at all. You think you're grown up. You don't know what you're doing yet. And you shoot off your mouth and you want socialism. Many of you haven't even lived in a socialist country. Many of you can't even name one successful socialist, communist, or any other country.
And if it comes to that, they're going to wish they hadn't done it.
That's right.
Or promoted to get it to be this way.
And see, you have Russia and you have China, but I don't consider them successful. Not in the way that we look at success. And there's a reason for that. Because of what China does with its Christians and with the Uyghurs and a lot of other things, which makes it a corrupt country. And then Russia, who has blood on its hand because of this invasion of the Ukraine, there's another one with blood on its hands. And in America, we have many of you who want to kill babies and are proud of it. I've heard young women say what they would do to these young kids. You live to kill little children and kill them even if they're alive. Well, that is blood guilt and that is murder. So be careful what you want to do and who you want to kill. So, remember, visit SamaritansPurse.org. Donate some money to them. Help them out to help others. You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
This is an amazing story. I love this. I'm thankful for this family. Resurrected. this happened in January of this year. A Texas teen's family is thankful he's alive after suffering cardiac arrest before miraculously being brought back to life 2 hours later. Sammy Burko of Missouri City, Texas, was recently pronounced dead after a bystander, medical professionals, and doctors worked on him for in a desperate attempt to restart his stopped heart. The doctors gave up hope, and then something incredible happened. The 16-year-old came back to life. And he was climbing a wall at a rock climbing gym, and he reached the top and went limp. And once they lowered him, they tried life-saving measures, which were unsuccessful. But these early efforts potentially protected the teen from more serious brain trauma. And they were at the hospital. The doctor looked at Sammy's parents and said, "I'm sorry, but he's gone." And they left them in the room to say goodbye to their beloved son. And Jennifer, Sammy's mother, started talking to him and to God. And she just was telling him, "I'm sorry that we didn't know how to save you and how much she loved him." And then all of a sudden, her husband said, "He's moving." And they began shouting, and the doctors came in and seen that a true miracle had happened and Sammy was back. And the doctors were just shocked because never had they ever pronounced somebody, and suddenly they came back to life a few minutes later. The feeling of seeing his heartbeat, there are no words for that. There are no words. That's what his mother said. And he's only suffered a minor brain injury and short-term memory loss. And these issues could have been much more pronounced considering what unfolded. But Sammy has a long road to recovery due to a spinal cord injury he sustained during the cardiac arrest. But he's making remarkable progress. He was released from the hospital after 3 months, and he said that he's doing better every day, and it's a weird, crazy experience learning to walk again. And he's able to do new things every day, and he's just said it's just amazing. So continue to pray for Sammy as he recovers from this tragic accident.
That's amazing.
It is. I love that story. Thank God that God's the giver of life, and he restored Sammy's life. So thank God. It's such a tragedy when a person passes.
You know, we've seen stuff like that on a regular basis, and I think the Lord has no problem with bringing miracles to today's society, because really we are negative people. We think that the doctors are the answer, science is the answer. But remember, when you're at your wit's end, or you're at your end, like in this family, she was simply talking to him, and God gave her a miracle.
Yes, thank God. Thank God.
So, yeah, this is, you better expect that in the future, because God isn't going away. Even if you enter into the tribulation, this God is still here.
And he's not ever changed. He's the same, and he will never change. He's always going to be the miracle-working God, the giver of life, the restorer.
Now, this next one, we're talking about Israel. And, it is true that Israel has felt the difference with Joe Biden, because he has been more pro-Palestinian And in the house, we have those people that are totally anti-Israeli. I'll tell you, and that is a change for America.
Yes, it is.
Not a good change. Yeah, probably in the last 10 to 15 years, the animosity and the people in America have been ramping up. And when you see a country move away from Israel, that is disconcerting. Yes. Because we don't move away from Israel. And if you are dissing Israel, you're wrong. Period. And there's a lot of things about the lands and Israel. But it wasn't too long ago. The first time in 25 years that a speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives addressed Israel's parliament. And of course, the speaker was Kevin McCarthy from Republican from California. And he went through the deep bond between Israel and the United States. There's a bunch of ceremonies around that. But he said, as we stand shoulder to shoulder against Iran's regional aggression, we must always remain resolute in our commitment that Iran will never acquire a nuclear weapon.
Yes.
Now see, he appeared, and this went on shortly after Israel celebrated their 75th anniversary. You know, 75 years, if you put it that way. And McCarthy noted how the nation's birth fulfilled biblical prophecy. He said that the prophet Isaiah predicted a brighter future to come. And he shared this, "Arise, shine, thy light is come." And he says, "My friends, today, 75 years after declaring independence, Israel's light shines brighter than ever." And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Israel's rebirth is nothing less than a miracle, and I thank you for it."
Amen.
You know, the thing of it is that we support Israel. You may not agree with them, but they're back in the land. And I have love and respect for the Jewish people. And I pray that God will intervene on their behalf.
You know, another thing McCarthy cautioned was, most of the turmoil in this region of violence and instability can be traced back to that source, which continues to fund terrorism, arms its proxy militia, and pursues nuclear weapons.
Yeah. That's true. So lift up Israel, pray for the salvation of Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes, amen.
Because there's people getting killed all the time in Israel who live there because they're targets. Okay, we are at, this is the Ukraine, about a conscientious objectors thing that's going on. This comes via forum18.org. And they carry a lot of news from over in Europe and Ukraine and various areas. And they've had conscientious objectors in Ukraine as they're fighting. Because, you know, Ukraine is small, and they need all the fighters you can get. So if they find someone that's refusing to fight, they go after them. So they came up with a second conscientious objector who refused to mobilize to go to war. And that's because of his conscience. And of course, he's appealing it. But he said, I would not carry weapons, would not put on a uniform, as I can't kill a person. They offered me no alternative service. He is the second known conscientious objector sentenced to jail in Ukraine since Russia renewed invasion. Well, I can see why he won't.
Yeah.
He's a 40-year-old Christian from southwestern city of Ivano-Frankivsk. And if he loses his appeal, he'll be taken to prison.
Yeah, he'll have to serve a 1-year jail term.
I would not carry weapons, would not put on a uniform, as I can't kill a person. You know, this is, you know, these are troubling issues. And of course,
they are, and they didn't offer him any alternative service, and no one asked him what he believed.
Well, you know, and I can understand these issues. My dad, when he went into the service during World War II, he had just graduated, and they asked him what he wanted to do, and he says, well, I don't want to kill anybody. So he actually became a native medic and specialized in trying to keep people alive. But, you know, if it hadn't been for America getting in World War II, Hitler would have won.
Yes, he would have.
And so there's some issues about this. But, for instance, if Israel didn't protect itself, they wouldn't even exist today.
That's right.
And, you know, nations have a right before God to defend themselves and those who are within its boundaries. And that's all there is to it. But the thing about a conscientious objector is that they can come up and shoot you deader than a doornail, and you're not going to kill them, so you'll die. And these are all issues. These are real issues in the world, especially if you're a Christian. You know, and you know, you're living in peace, you want peace, you don't want to fight, you don't want a gun, you know, you just don't want to go there. But if someone, you know, was to hurt part of your family and take a gun to them, what would you do? Would you just sit there and let them kill your family?
No, sure wouldn't.
You know, if you saw some woman getting raped on the street and you walked by, would you just let her get raped? Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of people that would.
And then they film it.
Yeah, they will even film it. We see that a lot on social media. And so you can be moral and immoral in many ways. And to go past some woman or some man getting hurt, beyond hurt, and he's being attacked by two or three or four bullies, and you just go by without happening, you don't even call out, you don't do nothing. Yeah, that's wickedness. That's corrupt. So, and then if you get in cities like New York and those within California's borders, and as well in Chicago, and there's a lot of cities, and you get in there, you can actually face jail time for trying to help out.
Yeah, that's just nuts.
Yeah, that's because the politicians there are nuts. You know, that. They're wicked. They're corrupt. You have to enforce the law. And we have a lot of big cities that are Democrat run. that are lawless. This is a terrible thing.
Yes, it is.
So there are problems, and this guy by the name of Mikhailo Yavorsky, may God protect him and his family,
yes,
and
amen.
May he find a resolution to this, and may they keep him out of jail. In Jesus' name. Are you ready?
Yes. This next story is from finishtherace.com. It's from Franklin Graham's Facebook page. And so, prominent evangelist Franklin Graham urges Americans to return to prayer. And that was on May 4th, National Day of Prayer. Insisting the nation's problems stem from having turned our backs on God. Our country is spiraling in a heap of confusion and lies, Reverend Graham wrote on his 10 million Facebook followers, to his 10 million Facebook followers. As a nation, we have turned our back on God and His Word, and we are seeing the results. Violence, crime, and suicide are rampant.
I agree with that.
Oh, yes, I do too. And the only solution to the nation's escalating problems is to return to God.
Amen.
And this was on the National Day of Prayer, an annual observance appointed by the U.S. Congress and held on the first Thursday of May. The National Day of Prayer was established by President Harry S. Truman in 1952 as part of the public response to the threats occasioned by the Korean War, mandating that each subsequent president sign a yearly proclamation encouraging all Americans to pray on this day. You know, Dana, I don't think Obama did that.
I can't remember. But
wasn't. I know that there was times that he did. I can remember one in particular. And anyway, at that time, Reverend Billy Graham, Franklin Graham's father, was a leading voice in urging the country to adopt a National Day of Prayer. What a thrilling, glorious thing it would be to see the leaders of our country today kneeling before God Almighty in prayer, Billy Graham said. What a thrill would sweep this country. What renewed hope and courage would grip the Americans at this hour of peril. And Franklin Graham insisted that our hope isn't in politicians and programs. Our hope is in God, and that's true. We can't put our hope in any one man coming in to rescue this country. As Christians, we need to be more intentional than ever about prayer. The Bible instructs us to make prayer a priority. Pray for our leaders. Pray from the president to those serving in Congress, to those in leadership at the state and local level, that God would give them wisdom, guide them, and have mercy on our nation. And citing his father, Reverend Graham said that prayer is the Christian's greatest weapon. And then there's a Bible verse, Luke 15:7. It says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And that, I believe that's the key. We just need to pray more and more.
Yep. And I like to have our leaders like Billy Graham and others standing up.
Yes.
You know, and urging. In the same token, I don't need some radical standing up, you know, and shooting off, you know, denouncing Christianity.
That's right.
Now, see, first and foremost, this is a Christian nation. Yeah, we got other people in it, but the people that came here were believers. And I can go through a whole lot of things about Scripture and about the inherent right of those pilgrims being able to come here and claim a country, whether you like it or not. But we have a lot of people coming across the border that want to divide this country up. And the reason that's happening is because America has fallen away from God. And you're not going to get away from it. Because sooner or later, you're going to be called on. You're going to have to face the music. And at this time, it doesn't look good for this country. Now, this is about politics and faith, and I found this interesting. This is about New York City Mayor Eric Adams. This came about via faithwire.com. You know, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, you know, has claimed to be a Christian. And he heralded the power of prayer. And he was revealing details during a Wednesday address at Reverend A.R. Bernard's Christian Cultural Center in New York City. And he says this, 32 years ago, God placed on my heart that January 1st, 2022, I would be the mayor of New York City. Adam said, but God said, do not be silent, because if you're silent, then when you get there, people are going to believe you stumble there. Everyone I saw, everyone I knew, and those who knew me back then, Attorney General James probably thought back then, Eric must be on medication. Adam said, everywhere I traveled to as a lieutenant and captain, I said, I'm going to be mayor January 1st, 2022, and God wanted me to allow people to watch.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You wouldn't think this guy was that way, but he finally told everybody. And you know, he doesn't like having all these people coming into New York automatically. He's still a Democrat. Regardless, now this is, regardless of where people stand on Adams' God claim, no one can dispute his comments are bold, especially for someone of his political stature. Now, it'd be in the realm of humanism and unbelief to assume that he made it all up. But I don't doubt it when people are told that. The mayor said he believes God wanted to show a perfectly imperfect person can rise to the highest power in a city in the most powerful country. Well, we're not going to be the most powerful country if something ain't done. So these are interesting. And he went on to say, you may not have noticed, but the last few months I've been talking about the need of God being back in our lives. Now, I have heard him in the last number of months speaking up. So
he's right about that.
He has been talking. And it's because the same voice I heard 32 years ago spoke to me a few months ago and said, talk about God, Eric. Talk about God. We have been so ashamed of God. Apparently, Adams, when he said the mayor of New York is a servant of God and the atheists, according to FaithWire, said the atheists were aghast. Well, they probably were.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, don't take much for them.
No.
If they see any sign of God and faith, they run and hide. State is the body, church is the heart. You take the heart out of the body dies.
That's right.
So he says, when I walk with God. When I talk with God. So, you know, this is his testimony. So believe it or not.
And I like that he says, I can't separate my belief because I'm an elected official. That's right.
Well, you know, the other problem I have is that, you know, even if he did say that, you know, when you look at Democrats, most of them, and I can tell you, the ones that were trying to take down Trump, and we found out, you know, this week that a lot of that was lies. And every one of, a lot of them go to church, whether it's a Catholic church or something else. And I got news for you. We have a terrible problem in this country with our Democrats and a few others. And I say Democrats because we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have lawlessness going on in these cities because the Republicans ain't doing it. It's the Democrats. That's, you know, right. And that shouldn't be. You know, the people of God are one people through Christ. And they're not one people when they act the way they do in this country. So if you think America's a Christian country, and I said they were, you know, that's the background. But I also told you about judgment. So these are serious things that needs to be thought about. They're not just things we're discussing here. It's something for you to listen to and think on and do your part. So, you know, even if Eric Adams is a Democrat, you know, I think God can save Democrats.
Yeah, he can.
A little humor there, folks. Chill out. You know, because, you know, God can save anybody if they're willing. Now, we do have a Pakistan story. Now, this came to us through missioncry.com. You see, WIBR Warren Radio's advocacy brings you to the truth today of the spreading of the gospel. And that truth is, there is a cost. And the article, it's a short article, is an example of that cost. And so, folks, I urge you to support missions and those organizations spreading the gospel globally. And what happens with these articles, they're put on Mission Network News, and Mission Cry uses that as a way to get their message out. Now, the big headline, when this was written, the big headline in Pakistan was the release of Imran Khan after the Supreme Court ruled the former prime minister was unlawfully arrested. Huh. Khan's supporters have been clashing with military and police for days. And that's why other stories like this one about a missionary partner get buried. Now see, it's not unusual for Christians to get in trouble and not have done anything to get there except be a Christian. They lose their homes, they lose their lives, they lose their wives, they lose their children. And Mission Cry's president, Jason Wolford, talks about one of their missionaries who was brutally attacked. And he describes it. He says he was coming out of a prayer meeting and was going to take a motorcycle cab ride. He began to minister to the fellow Pakistani and said, "We distribute Bibles and I want to give you a Bible. I'm a Christian and Jesus Christ is the only way to our Father in heaven." And the driver seemed to be receptive. Then the driver drove him out off the path and severely broke both his arms, his wrists, and his hands, and told the missionary, "You'll never distribute Bibles again." To add insult to injury, the male attacker then tried to accuse the Christian missionary of rape.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. What we're seeing in some of these areas in Islamic countries, they will accuse a Christian minister of raping a man, which is 40 years in prison, says Wolford. Ironically, if you rape a woman, it's only 35 years. Oh, God. Isn't that dumb?
It is stupid.
So that's disturbing to me, but obviously this was found not to be true. It was the accusation from obviously the man who beat him profusely. Now, Mission Cry is covering the missionary's medical needs.
And you know, Wolford says, what really stood out to me was that he had mentioned that as soon as he's better, as soon as he can move his hands and his arms, that he's going right back to distributing the Word of God because he knows it's the only thing that doesn't return void. Amen. That's true. Good for him.
Yeah.
I pray that he has a speedy recovery and restoration of his bones, that he won't suffer any irreparable damage and harm from that and ill side effects.
Well, you know, be sure to pray for this brother and for Mission Cry and other missionaries and other Christians. And pray also for those who attack and persecute Christians, that they will have a profound encounter with Jesus Christ and have his heart changed by the gospel.
Amen.
Also, pray for Mission Cry and their ministry and their team, because as their words are, we're taking ground back from Satan in some of the most corrupt places on the planet. And I believe that.
Amen. Good for them.
So we pray for all of these. And this is part of our advocacy, the WIBR Warren Radio Advocacy. Be sure to help. You can go to Mission Cry and missioncry.com. That's what it is. And you can find a way to donate there if you want to help them. Pray for our brethren overseas, because it's pretty bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, we're going to have to get out of here. We're getting close. Man, time just...
I'll have to do that other story next week.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to do it, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Okay, well, thank you everybody for joining us whenever you do. Please pray for your brethren and out there in these terrible situations. And we pray for you. We love you. We always hope the best for you in Christ Jesus. Be careful. Stay safe. And we love you dearly. Good night, everybody.
You know, Tara, there's one thing about Tower. When we talk about this, these are real people.
They are.
And
it's hurtful.
Yeah.
It's gut-wrenching.
And so, folks, these aren't made up. These come directly from the mission field. And you wouldn't want this to happen to any of your family if you're a Christian family.
No. And we also thank God for the miracles that he performs daily, and we're able to share a few of them here.
Yeah, and I'm glad this man is determined and he's going to get well. But that's really tough, having two broken arms.
Oh, I know. That's so wicked.
But see, a lot of these Pakistani and Indian Christians, they're skinny as a rail. They don't have any meat on them, so it don't take much to beat him up, especially when... I wonder if he run him over with his bike or something.
I don't know. But then there's that anger,
yeah,
of a person that just fuels your...
Don't forget to go by our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows and read the articles wherever you find them. Send them to your friend. Tell others about the advocacy of the WIBR Warren Radio. Be sure to take care of yourselves and your family. Be safe, everybody. God bless. Good night. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warren Radio.